and you can find actually two pods right next to the chat room when you look at the Adobe Connect virtual meeting screen. Once you fill out the form with a question or a statement, it'll automatically be placed in a queue for this session and archived for future reference. Those of you remotely participating and not using Adobe Connect will find these same forms visible to and available to you on the agenda page for this meeting on the Nairobi website. The remote intervention pod and its form queuing function are important for two primary reasons. First, as you can see from the agenda that Peter's going to be discussing shortly, we've got seven separate topic areas that have been identified on our agenda this morning. The forms are going to help me dynamically organize the questions that get read during the live session. Secondly, and many of you know this much more passionately than I do, invariably there are more questions than there is time in the session to answer them. The automatic archive capability of the remote submission forms will enable us, the staff, to answer every question submitted during the session and post both questions and answers on the agenda page for this session on the Nairobi meeting site. The format we plan for this session is that Peter will alternate between the in-person questions here in Nairobi and those submitted online. I'm generally going to be reading the questions. We may convince a couple of notable guests to read some as well, but the plan is essentially to do the alternating back and forth. And that's it, Peter. So let's get started.
Thanks, Rob. And my thanks to all of those involved in the remote connectivity team. When I took up the chair, I challenged ICANN to become a world leader in remote participation so that our meetings can be really, truly global, and we're making great strides. So thank you very much to the team for doing that, and thank you to the people in the room for helping us. There's going to have to be some give and take as we deal with the people who we can't see. Can I mention another thing, and that is that the people who are scribing these words that you are seeing on the screen are in the United States. They cannot see you, so that will occasionally mean that the text needs correction, but it also means that you need to be very clear about identifying yourself. When they're here, you can usually get your name right by checking in with them first. So when you come to speak at the microphone, please just take that moment to clearly identify yourself. Now, if we can put the agenda up, please, just a brief explanation of how this works. This is a result of some advice that I've received from the Public Participation Committee and the result of discussions with the CEO and the staff. And the rest of the board in terms of trying to get a sense of what the priority questions for Nairobi are. There are always more topics than we have time for. So this is a selection process. If I've got it wrong, then it's my fault. The time guides are as much for us here as they are for the people in the room. People can see this and check in when their particular topic comes up, but it is only a rough guide as far as time is concerned. And if some topic becomes more important, it can expand to fill some of the time, and other topics can move back down the agenda. This is the order we will discuss them, but not necessarily the time. So let me begin by welcoming then the chair of the nominating committee, Wolfgang Kleinbechter, who has asked for an opportunity to address you. The nominating committee is an important institution in ICANN and performs a very important role. So I'd like to hear from the chair of the nominating committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Good morning, everybody. If you love the internet, if you love ICANN, then you should apply for a leadership position on ICANN. ICANN is as good as the people who lead ICANN. And we need the best people in the world to make ICANN better. ICANN is in a permanent process of improvement. So we had an official reform a couple of years ago, but the reform is going on. And you can make ICANN only better if you have the right people to do the job. And that's why I think the nomination procedure every year is an important element in the continuation of the improvement of ICANN. My name is Wolfgang Kleinbechter. I'm chairing the nomination committee in 2010, and I want to use my 5 minutes for probably there are some slides. Okay. Yeah. Some basic information. This year we have to fill seven positions in the ICANN councils and boards and committees. We have to select three directors for the board. We have to select one council member for the GNSO council, one member for the CNSO council member, and two members for the at-large advisory committee from Europe and from Northern America. So to apply for ICANN leadership position, it's rather simple. You have to go to the NOMCOM website. You have to fill in the SOI, which is the Statement of Interest. I think no organization has more acronyms than ICANN. So, and the SOI is our main acronym we have in the nomination committee. SOI, as I said, means Statement of Interest. And here you have to send it, this to us, to until April the 2nd. We did not make the deadline April the 1st, because then some people would have thought this is a joke. But the nomination committee is not a joke. It's a very serious business, and so you have one day more to consider to send an application to the nomination board. To the nomination committee. So April 2nd is the deadline for this, and we hope that you yourself, but also you know people you know, that you do the outreach and to encourage people to consider to apply for one of these leadership positions. We have on the website you will find all the information, the criteria. And as I said, you know, the overarching criteria is you have to love the internet, you have to understand ICANN's mission, and you have to bring the energy to the various bodies to do a lot of work and to help that all the issues which are on the long agenda also in this public session, you know, can be settled step by step forward. Let me add, you know, some final words about the procedure, how the nomination committee works. I think it's important to understand that the process is a confidential process. So we had in previous years, we had elections. Elections are different from a selection process. In an election, you make public that you are a candidate, and then at the end of the election, you have won the election or you have lost the election. So, but the confidentiality principle of the nomination committee protects the candidate. So there are no losers. If you apply, nobody will know that you have applied because your application will be treated in a very confidential way. And you will remain in the pool also for two more years if you wish to remain in the pool. So that means that's a process, a very individual process, where we really look then in the best candidates. And very often, the selection is not just based on your individual capacity and skills. So we have to take into consideration a lot of other aspects, like geographical diversity, geopolitical aspects, gender aspects, and specific skill aspects. Also, if you have already five technology person in a council, there is probably no need to add another expert for technology, but you need somebody who is more familiar with business aspects or with diplomacy or with other skills. The other year, probably the composition of this council, of this board, has changed, and then your specific skills are needed. So that means it changes from year to year. And insofar, you know, I encourage you not to be frustrated if you are not selected after your application, but, you know, to do it again the other year. We need you and we need everybody. And let me add at the end another important element. Some people say, okay, this confidential principle, this is at the end of the day, this is a conspiracy behind closed doors because the voting members of the nomination committee, you know, try to find their good friends and then give them a job. This is nonsense. This is not true. You have to understand the nature of the nomination committee to understand that this is really a high quality of a new democracy which you do not find in no other organizations or institution. Because the voting members of the nomination committee are selected by the community itself. So that means one third of the voting members of the nomination committee coming from the at-large advisory committee. And the other two thirds are coming from the GNSO council, the ASO council, the various constituencies. And insofar, it's the community itself which selects the people who have the voting power to select then the directors for the board, for the councils, and for the at-large advisory committee. So the nomination committee is totally independent from the board. So if Rod tells us, I want to have this and this guy on the board, so we have no no way to follow his wish, because we are acting independent. We will listen to him, and we did so, and we invited him to give us his perspective, but the nomination committee operates independently from the board. And also I as a chair and Hartmut Glaser as my associated chair, we do not have a voting right. I just steer the process, I encourage the discussion, but the decision-making capacity is in the hand of the community. And such a process you do not have in a government, you do not have in a private corporation, you do not have in a non-governmental organization. This is really a unique model, how the leadership positions are filled in this organization and ICANN. And insofar, you know, this confidential principle is a strength of ICANN and not a weakness. And once again, I am...